Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
We are a part of a global movement of churches, and we're very privileged to have here the founding pastor of this church, the founding pastor of the church that I came into ministry in almost 20 years ago. Norman, we are getting old. But this man's definitely been a spiritual father to many of us in this room who have come, especially from Auckland. He was in charge of this region for around 12 years. So our church here is a part of the Oceania region of Every Nation churches around the world. And so now he is based in the United States. And I couldn't think of a better person to come and talk to us today in our series, talking about how over the last few weeks, we've been talking about our individual calling. In the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about us as a corporate body being called. And now we're launching into this theme that of which I won't unpack today. I want to give him all the room to be able to do what he needs to do. But there's definitely an embodiment of everything that he's going to be talking about today in terms of the missional calling of our church and us as a people. But we had a phenomenal time yesterday with him, just unpacking apologetics and the importance of understanding why we believe what we believe and how to communicate our faith across the board. So I really think you're in for a treat today. And I want you to please stand to your feet and let's give a warm welcome to Pastor Kendu as he comes to bring the word today for us all.
Thank you, Pastor Nelly. You may be seated. Delighted to be here with you. Bring greetings from Singapore. We had a lovely time over there with our Every Nation Church there. And last night I particularly enjoyed talking to the group about apologetics and how to engage the culture with the gospel. Pastor Nelly and I go way back. We met at Auckland Uni 20-something years ago, and we had stolen his booth space on the Concord there. And you know, a bunch of loudmouth Americans were there, and we were starting a campus ministry. So we hit it off right away, and we just thank God for the providential connections we have here. So I'm here, and I'm looking around the room, and I see so many dear people I love, and my wife is really going to be gutted, Renee. My wife, Renee, she's back in the States, and we have 4 children. They're all grown now. And Rebecca, she's working for the State Senate of Florida. She is a legislative analysis. What she does is top secret, so I won't go any further. And then Benjamin, he left corporate America. He is now working at Florida State University. He's the chaplain for the football team there and is a campus minister. Rachel teaches third grade. She got her master's degree from Oral Roberts University, so she's teaching third grade in a Christian school. And Abigail is our campus minister at University of Central Florida. So they're all doing well, and they really send their love and regards to you. But I'm delighted to be here with you. 2012, we moved here from Auckland, New Zealand. We had a very successful thing going in Auckland, and it had been a few years before we were able to plant additional churches. But I knew God was, our time in the South Pacific was winding down. So Renee and I prayed, and we said, we feel like we have one more church plant here with us. So we moved from Auckland, the comforts and convenience of Auckland, and moved here to Brisbane. And it was an amazing time. And we were only here for 2 years. And then after that 2-year span, we really felt God was moving us back to the States. So I contacted Pastor Nelly and Tina in Singapore, asked them to pray about coming and taking the work. And I am just so delighted that they said yes and came here and the great work that's happening. And we hear about what's happening in the South Pacific all the way in America. So we're so delighted at what God's doing here in the great city of Brisbane. And I bring our love and our greetings, but I want to preach to you for a little bit. Is that okay? And I know you've been talking about corporate or individual callings. How many of you know every one of you in here have a destiny in God? The Bible says in Psalms 39, it says that God knew you when you were in your mother's womb, that you were uniquely and specifically and fearfully made in your mother's womb. Before your mom or dad even knew you were alive, God had planned you. He put you in there. He gave you the color hair you have. He gave you the color eyes. He gave you the potential to become what eventually you would become in this life. But God knew it before you ever saw the light of day. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. Now, you need to realize something is that God has a calling and a destiny on each one of us, but he does not force us to do it. We actually have a choice in the matter, okay? I want you to touch the person next to you and say, he's preaching to you now. You have a choice in the matter. Turn to him and say, you have a choice. God loves you enough, he will let you defy his will and do your own thing in this life against his prescribed destiny if you choose to do so. But he has given you and I a specific destiny. I'm so glad I left the comforts and conveniences of America to come to New Zealand almost 20 years ago. And I see Fatuna over there, who's a wonderful prayer warrior and a great woman of God, and the mother of our senior pastor, Pastor Nelly, great woman of God. Almost 20 years ago, Fatuna, we left the comforts of Brentwood, Tennessee, and moved to Auckland, New Zealand. And people in our family said, well, what did you do wrong? Are they punishing you? They're sending you to the outermost regions of the earth. And I said, no, we get to go. We get to sell everything. We get to go on this adventure, and we get to let God show us what he wants to do. And let me tell you something. It was the greatest adventure of our life. In fact, my son, who's 27, Benjamin, he's like Caleb. He's a big old guy, played gridiron and for the University of Houston, played in the Peach Bowl, beat Florida State, had a tremendous successful career in sport. He came up to me recently, Pastor Nelly, and said, Dad, I want to thank you when I was 8 years old that you've moved us from America to New Zealand. Because if we'd have stayed in America, we'd have been trapped by materialism and by the whole American dream and pulled in and sucked into this whole thing of worldliness. And I'm so glad we went on the mission field. And consequently now, because of that, he's serving God in the full-time ministry. It really pays to listen to God and do what God wants you to do. But when you understand you have an individual destiny and God has called you by name to do something very specific and special, you also need to understand you have a corporate destiny. Everyone say corporate. Now, when we talk about corporate destiny, the word corporal means body. It means the whole body. In fact, all of us individually, we have a destiny, but corporately, we have a destiny as a church. And I want to talk to you more about our corporal destiny, our corporate or body destiny that God has called us to. And I want to talk about becoming a missional church. How many know we are on mission? Okay, some people didn't know that. We are on mission. We're actually here not just to be entertained. I hope it is entertaining. Hope you get encouraged. I hope you get edified. I hope you see your favorite people. I hope you get to eat out wherever you like to eat on Sunday afternoon. But more importantly than having all your specific needs met, God has a corporate destiny for you and I to fulfill as the church. Brisbane Church, every nation, has a corporate destiny in the city to do something great for God. We get to be a part of the ride. We read in Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists and pastors and teachers so they could preach great sermons and woo and wow you every Sunday morning so you could want to come back the next Sunday. Is that what it says? But that's the way a lot of Christians are. I want to go to that church because I'm really getting fed. Really, what are they feeding you? I don't go there anymore because they're not feeding me. You know what Jesus said? He said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. You know what you've just told me? You said, number one, if they're not teaching the Bible and they're not teaching God's will, you need to move. But if they're preaching the word at a particular church and you're not ingesting the food, it's not a fact that there's not good food or a good diet. It's the fact that you're not eating it. You're not doing God's will. When we do God's will, we will actually be fed and nourished. But it says he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work. Everyone say work. I know, I stopped preaching and went to meddling now. For the work of the ministry and work of the service to the building up. Everyone say building up. Building up of the body of Christ. You know what? The word there, to build up, it means to edify. When we see a big building downtown in Brisbane, we say that's a big edifice, a new edifice. It's a building, you see. God is building up his church. He wants you to be strong. Anybody here ever seen bodybuilders? Anybody here go to the gym and work out? Okay, we need to pray. We need to really kind of get out of our home and get out in front of the TV or Facebook and actually, you know, you've been to the gym. Most of you had a New Year's resolution. You went to the gym and paid that $299 and showed up early in the morning. But most people, you know what they do? They spend time looking in the mirror, flexing and, you know, they're what I call Weight Watchers. They look at other people lift weights. They're Weight Watchers. But if you would actually take the weights and resist them and do something, you would find something called edification. You'd build up. You'd get stronger. And the reason God wants to build you up is because there's something called resistance coming your way. Have you realized that this world is a very dark and selfish place? It really is. He says, I have called you together for a specific purpose corporately to the building up of the body of Christ to a mature man, a mature person, a mature edifice, something that when they speak, there's authority. Something when they speak, there's something weight, there's gravitas. If we were in New Zealand, we'd say mana. There's something in there that you have to take this seriously. That we attain to the unity of the faith. I love that. There's a unity. While we're here all together, we're unified to a mature man, to the measure and the stature which is in Christ Jesus. Can I tell you something, ladies and gentlemen? Your individual destiny is inextricably linked to your corporate destiny. You know what? I can't do what God's called me to do without this man. I just can't do it. For some reason, we're linked together. Same with Norman and Easter. There's, for some reason, I'm linked to Pastor Steve. I'm linked to the people here, to Pastor Joshua Opadiah, who's our regional leader now in Sydney. I'm linked to these people. They look much different than me, but I know they're a part of my family. Why? There is this thing called corporate destiny. And see, let me tell you something. If you're looking for a church to meet all your needs, may I tell you this? Pastor Nelly, you can correct me if you want to afterwards. There are churches in Brisbane that can do church better than we can. They have nicer seats, they have better coffee, they have better chocolates, they've got better childcare, they've got everything, all the bells and whistles, all the luxuries that you need. But if you're looking for a nice, comfortable experience, you're probably not ready to be built up in the body of Christ. And so we're here today. I'm here. I flew all the way across the planet to come here. Why? Because of this thing called corporate destiny. I'm here because of a corporate destiny. Your destiny is linked. Can I tell you something? A lot of people in America are particularly individualistic. The curse of 21st century man is individualism. If you ever talk to people, I don't need anybody. I'll do it all on my own. Are you kidding me? You can't even drive on the motorway without somebody else helping you. Somebody made those roads. Somebody made the car you're driving. Someone prepared the meal that you're eating. You are surrounded. You are so dependent. You can't even think about being independent. That's the way God has made it. First of all, we're dependent on Him, but we must be dependent on other people. And if they're dependent on me, then all of a sudden things begin to happen. In physics, we call it synergy. You who've studied engineering and physics, you understand synergy is a powerful thing. What it means is if you take burning embers or coals, these individual coals, and I put them on a table, they emit light and energy. But if I take all three of the burning coals and put them together and let them coalesce together, the sum of the whole is greater than the sum of the individual parts. That means as great as you are by yourself, you are not nearly as powerful as when you link arms with two other people. Why? Synergy happens. That's why Jesus sent them out two by twos. That's why He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in your midst. There's power that comes together. Well, Pastor Ken, can I do church at home? Yeah, you can. You can. You know, I really get fed by watching Pastor Doodad on YouTube, and he's really good, and he feeds me and ministers to me. There's one problem with Pastor Doodad. When you're in trouble and your wife's about to leave you, you can't get an appointment with him. You can't do that with Pastor Doodad, or Brother Abrasive, or Sister Sandpaper, whoever you're watching. These people are not connected. There's no relationship. There's no synergy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They may be great preachers, but let me tell you what, that word, if it isn't connected with a relational unity, there's no building up. That's what's wrong with our culture. We think we can look at something on YouTube and it's going to meet my need. Can I tell you something? Computers, they offer the illusion of companionship without the real price of relationship. Let me say that again. Computers offer the illusion of companionship. Oh, I've got 3,000 friends on there, Pastor Ken, on Facebook and Instagram. You know, they're not your friends. You know how you can tell your friends, say, I'm moving tomorrow. I need 15 people with weak minds and strong backs to show up at my place. You'll find out how many friends you really got. You know what I'm saying? They'll be defriending you so quick. Work, are you kidding me? I just like what you said last time. They will divorce you on Facebook as quick as you can shout hallelujah. Just say something they don't like or put a post on there that's a little different or controversial. They're not really your friends. Friends are people who get down and dirty with the real issues of life. There's a relational connection. That's why I cut off that stupid computer, get off Facebook, and go get in a community where people know you and they love you even when they know you, and you lock arms, and there's something called spiritual synergy. Amen. That's when we change the planet. I'm so glad I came today. I need to hear this. This is good. Thank you, Nelly, for having me. Your destiny is linked. It's linked. It's inextricably connected to the people that God has called you to work with. God is building his church. He's not building a great minister. He's not building a great ministry. He's building his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. It can prevail against you and I individually, and we're separated, and we're doing our own thing. But when I corporately come together in my destiny, in my corporate destiny with the men and women of God that God has placed me with, I didn't pick these people. I would have never picked this kind of people, but I fell in love with them. You know, I would have never, you know, I was a gridiron player. I was an All-American football player back in the day. And I remember I went to the right parties. I dated the right girls. I was, quote, popular. I thought I had it going for me. And I remember I was just as empty as the beer kegs I was drinking out of. And I slipped into this little meeting. And they were a bunch of geeks and nerds. They were. We call them geeks and nerds. Now we call them boss and sir, you know. But they actually got their degree in computer programming, and we're indebted to them. Those guys, I went in there and I looked at these guys, and they were not like me at all. And I looked at these guys, and I remember a guy came to me. His name was Claude, and his name was descriptive of the way he looked. Claude came up to me and said, "Oh, you're new here, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah, I am." And he looked at me. He goes, "Well, I want to disciple you." So he got out this thing called the Foundation Book. And you know what? I would have never picked that guy. He was the antithesis of anything I wanted to be like or follow. But can I tell you what? He changed my life. Why? Because he had the truth. He had the Word of God. And I humbled myself and said, "God, he doesn't look like me. He doesn't talk like me. He's never kissed a girl." I'm thinking, this guy. But he got something I don't, a relationship with you. And you know what? My life changed. God changed us. I went to Auckland, New Zealand, as you know. We planted a church on the North Shore. And you know what? God said, "I want you to go and reach the Polynesian people." You know, I said, "Well, that's good, because we know we got something in common. We know how to fry chicken." Amen. So that we got common ground already, you know. We can reach that group. Praise the Lord. And our Southside church was basically completely Polynesian. I loved it. Loved these people. Why? There was synergy. It wasn't about the way they looked or the color of their skin or the way they talked. It was about something in destiny. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's what God wants to do in every nation, but he wants to do it here with our church, with you as an individual, corporately, hooking arms and buying in and having that synergy. Can you say amen? Romans 1, 10 through 11 says, "I make mention of you always in my prayers, making a request, if perhaps now at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you." This is Paul talking to the church at Rome. "I long to see you that I may impart some spiritual gifts in you so that you may become established." You may become established. Can I tell you what? That word "established" is a very powerful word. It is the antithesis. It's the opposite of our culture, which is so transient and unstable and unestablished. The word "establish" is the word "sterizo" in the Greek. "Sterizo," it means to make stable, to place firmly, to render constant. God wants to establish something in you and I that come hell or high water, we are in this thing for the long haul. Amen. How many here are married? Some of you aren't sure. Come on, get your hand up. Okay, how many are married? Okay, that's better. You know better. Yeah, that's right. It's more. That's more declarative. You know, God wants to establish your marriage. I remember when I married Renee, we've been married for 30 years. I told her, I said, honey, we're going to stay married. We're not going to talk about divorce. We're going to stay married. We just celebrated 30 years, Nelly, of marriage. But when we made that vow 30 years ago, I said, we're not going to talk about divorce. We did talk about murder, but never divorce in our marriage. Why? Because we knew God wanted to establish something that's permanent. You see, God wants to establish you in your relationships. Can I tell you what? You're going to get offended in this church. You say, I know, I've already been offended by you about three times by now. Don't leave yet. God's going to deal with you. You're going to get offended. Someone's not going to shake your hand. Someone's not going to ask you out for dinner. Someone's not going to invite you over to a birthday party. Somewhere along the line, someone is going to offend you. Guess what you need to do? You need to get over it and forgive them. If they don't invite you, you invite them and then tell them to pay for the lunch. Anyway, there's a way you could get back at them, trust me. But don't get offended. Get over it. Forgive them. God wants to establish you. God, that's why this church has been established. Nellie said, the establishing pastor, we built so that the foundation of this thing would work. So when I look around and I see Bianca and I see all these people here, I see Jay and Myrtle and I see all the people that are here and established in the church. I see Norman and Easter. I see Seda. I see Dijon and his lovely fiance here. That kid, I knew him when he was 5 years old with leukemia. God healed him in my living room. Why do you think he's here? Because he knows God is real and God established something in him that, hey, if you can heal me, you can restore my life and you can put me on a firm foundation. I want to be established. I don't know about you, but in 20 years from now, I want to make sure that I'm still walking with God. I heard a story. I was talking with Pastor Calvin over in Singapore, a very dear friend of ours. He fell away. It was very, very sad. Very, very sad. But you know what? I didn't say, oh, that poor guy. I don't know about Christianity. And I'm, you know, maybe, you know, you hear all these stories about so-and-so passed away who they had faith in, and now they're questioning their faith. I think, what did you build your Christianity on? I'm not building my faith on somebody else's faith. I'm building my faith in my relationship with God. I'm established. I love you, and if you all backslide, I'm still going to serve Jesus. I am. I've invested too much in this thing. If the greatest preachers in America fall away tomorrow, I'm still going to be established. Why? Because I understand this thing called corporate destiny, this thing called being established. What wars against us being corporately established? What wars against this corporate synergy we're talking about? Something called selfishness. The gospel of self-improvement, the gospel of self-esteem is all around the West, not just in America, but also here in Australia and New Zealand. Even though the Bible doesn't really teach about self-love in extents, it doesn't teach about self-esteem or self-worth or self-actualization as virtues. A vast number of present-day Christians have been deceived by the teaching of humanistic psychology. Rather than resisting the enticement of the world and becoming culturally bound, not only do they not resist the tidal wave of self-ism, they are riding the crest of self-esteem and self-acceptance. You'll hear people, I'm just going to a church that meets my needs, where I can experience my destiny, where I can realize my great dreams. Lots of luck. Why? Because you need people around you. To reach any destiny at all, you've got to be corporately linked and synergetically hooked up with people who will help you reach those dreams. Luke chapter 9, verse 22 says this. I love this scripture. Jesus said, you want to come follow me? They said, yeah, Jesus, we love your ministry. There's miracles. The deaf hear, the blind eyes are open. Dead people come back. People with leprosy are healed. Jesus, this is a good gig. We like it. Here's what he said. If anyone wishes to follow after me, he must suffer, because the Son of Man will suffer and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, and be killed on the third day. If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know what Jesus said? If you really want this, it's going to cost you. You know, Christianity is very free, and we receive it by grace, but it's very costly as well. It's going to cost you your reputation, your pride, what people think. Can I tell you something? God loves you. He doesn't want to hurt your pride. He wants to kill the dumb thing. He wants to eradicate it. It's not about you anymore. Years ago, we had in Auckland, you may remember this, Nellie. In fact, you might have been there. We used to sing a song by Israel Houlton called, "It's All About You, It's All About You." And we were singing it to the Lord, you know. And one of our elders, his name is Adam Clausen, his little boy, Nathaniel, thought that everyone, whenever we sang the song in church, that they were singing it to him. It's all about you. And he would sing around the house, "It's all about me, it's all about me." What a great church, it's all about me. You'll meet my needs. You'll preach what I want. You'll make my life comfortable. You'll tickle me where I itch. You'll scratch me where I need a problem. Oh, it's all about me. Can I tell you what? That is the culture that we live in. Not about the Lord, not about sacrifice, not about giving your life as a ransom the way Jesus said, if you want to follow me, it's going to cost you your life. Ladies and gentlemen, the kingdom of God is counterintuitive than our culture. The culture says put yourself first. Jesus said, if you want to be first, be last. Well, I want people to serve me, and I want to be the big CEO, the corporate boss. Jesus said, if you want to be great, become a servant of all. The Bible says Jesus emptied himself of his divine privileges. He condescended from his heavenly status and came down and walked among men, became a man, emptied himself of his deity and walked on the earth in flesh. Humble himself. Why? So he could redeem you and I. The very counterintuitive thing that we think we need and want will make us happy. The very opposite will make you happy. That's why he said, if you want to find life, lose your life. You really want to live? Give away your life. What? I remember I was in Hawaii seeing my daughter play basketball. She went to the University of Hawaii. And I was at Waikiki Beach, and I was really bored. You know, and I said, I'm just going to witness to people. You know, sometimes, you know, you just want, why am I in Hawaii to have a good, no, I want to talk to people about Jesus. So I start talking to this guy, and he's sitting on there, and I began chatting with him, and I said, how are you doing, mate? He goes, not too good. I'm depressed. I'm bored. This is going on in my life. And I looked at him, and he looked healthy. He was young. He seemed prosperous. I looked around. It's a beautiful Waikiki Beach. The breeze is blowing. It's, you know, 85 degrees Fahrenheit. It's gorgeous. This is paradise, mate. And he goes, oh, he said, where are you from? I said, well, I live in Auckland, New Zealand. At the time, I did. And he said, oh, Lord of the Rings. I wish I could go to Auckland. I wish I could live in New Zealand. I'd like to go there. I'd like to live there. I've heard they've got all this. And he went in a whole liturgy of why he wanted to go to New Zealand. I looked at him. I said, you know, there's one problem. He said, when you get on a plane to go from Honolulu to Auckland, you're going to have to take you with you. And if you're bored here in paradise, it will be about 2 weeks and you're going to be bored in New Zealand. You see? What is it about life? What is it about this thing called existential despair when you think, if I do all these things, they'll make me happy? You do it, it's like sand falling through your fingers. I went here, I did that, I experienced that, and I'm still empty. Why? Because there's a spiritual void in each one of our hearts that only a spiritual destiny can complete. That's why you can have money, fame, and fortune, power and pleasure, and still be empty. You can live in a mansion and drive the latest model car and still be totally miserable because God has put destiny in your heart, but it's a corporate destiny. And the way you embrace it is not to elevate self, it's to die from self. I love what C.S. Lewis said. He said, I didn't go to religion to make me happy. He said, a bottle of port would do that. He said, if you want a religion to make you happy, I don't suggest Christianity for you. If you're looking for happiness, if you're looking just for pleasure and happiness, you need to go become a Buddhist or a humanist or something else. Because Christianity is not about your own personal happiness. It's about corporate destiny. Corporate destiny. There was a man named David Babington. I didn't even know this, Pastor Nelly. You may have known it, but 1986 and 89, he studied at Cambridge University, and he came up with the four main components of what he thought evangelical Christianity should look like. And here were the four components. Number one was biblicism, or believing in the Bible, accepting the Bible as divinely inspired, inerrant, and historically accurate. Crucicentrism, that means that the focus of what the cross did for us is the center of our message, that crucicentrism. Conversionism, that the belief that all people need to be converted, even nice people need to be converted. Even people who have good morals need to be converted. I was at South Bank on Saturday, or when was it? No, Friday. And I was talking to these people and just began to engage them about the gospel. And they said, "Are you trying to convert us?" I said, "Yes, I am." "What? So you're trying to persuade us to become Christians?" "Uh-huh. Yeah." "Well, I don't think you should be persuasive. I don't think you should do that. I think you should let people make their own choice." I said, "Oh, wait a minute. So you think that I shouldn't be persuasive with my Christianity?" He goes, "Yeah, we don't think you should do that. In fact, we don't think you should be doing that." I said, "Wait a minute. Are you trying to persuade me not to be persuasive? Oh, I think you're doing the very same thing I'm doing." Can I tell you what? Every argument is persuasive. Words by definition are exclusive. When I say, "Stop, don't go there," that means that it's excluding this avenue that you were going to walk down. Whether you like it or not, you are being persuasive. The question is, are you being persuasive for things that count for eternity? Or are you just biding your time and wasting your life and hoping somehow you'll find happiness around the next bend? Conversionism. And then the fourth thing, and this is so simple, but I'd never seen this before, and I've got a degree in theology. Activism. What does that mean? You got to be active in your Christianity. "Oh, I come to every world church here, and Pastor Nelly, he's the one who's active, and him and Norman, and they do a good job, and they're active, and I just come here and bask in the presence of the Lord, and I let them do it." No, remember what we read in Ephesians, that their job is to equip you for the work of the service. Their job is to equip you to become active. Their job is to equip you to get out of your seat, as nice and as comfortable as it is, and make your Christianity count. There's a corporate destiny here, ladies and gentlemen. It's just not Pastor Nelly's faith. It's just not Norman's faith. It's not just Easter's faith or Tina's faith. It is our, well, we pay them to do that. We'll pay and pray and stay out the way. Well, we need you in the way. We need you actually doing something now. Thank God that you're paying, and thank God you're praying, but let me tell you what. We're praying for you that you would make your Christianity count. An atheist said this. He said, "How much do you have to hate someone to believe that eternal life is possible and never tell them about it?" If you really believe that people can have eternity with Jesus and be forgiven, like he's granted us, how much do you really have to disdain or hate people not to tell them about this? God wants us to be active. He wants us to invest. You don't have to be an evangelist. You don't have to be articulate. All you have to do is care. If you can talk and tell somebody how you got saved, how God touched you, you are a prime candidate to become this church's next evangelist. I remember a bloke got saved. He didn't know anything. You know what he did? He wrote down 8 scriptures on an index card. This was before cell phones and text messages. He wrote down 8 scriptures, and he would go up to people and say, "Excuse me, my name is David, and Jesus just changed my life. Can I ask you to do me a favor? Would you read that out loud, please?" And they'd read it out loud. He'd lead him to the Lord right there. He didn't even know the scriptures himself. Why? He was active. Why? It wasn't about him. It wasn't about his slick presentation, and he's got all these cool stories. It was about the Word of God is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce beyond soul and spirit and join them out, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. That's why people don't read the Bible. It reads them. It reads them. We have an airline in America called Southwest, and it's kind of, Nelly's been on it, and they don't assign you seats. It's first come, first serve, so when you get in line, you kind of trying to get the seat. When I travel on it, sometimes I'm tired, and they're small seats, and I'm a big guy, so I really would prefer someone not to sit so close to me. So what I do is I take my Bible, and I open it up to Exodus chapter 20, where the Ten Commandments are, and I put it on the empty seat, the vacant seat right beside me. And it's amazing how people come and say, "Excuse me, is that seat?" Ooh. It's wonderful. It's like a cross in front of a vampire. It's like, what is it about those black words on a white page? You see, it reads you. It tells you what needs to change. The Bible says it's like a mirror. How many looked in the mirror this morning before you came to church? The rest of you should have. The mirror tells you what needs to change. Amen. The mirror, I got up this morning, you know what the mirror told me? Get help quick. Get help. It tells you, it reflects. See, this Bible gives you an accurate image of what needs to change in your life. That's why people don't want to read it. All right, let me close up here. There are 3 points I want to make. There's a thing called orthodoxy, which is straight or right thinking about the Bible. When we have good orthodoxy or straight thinking, the we have something called orthopraxy, good practice. That means we're doing what we know to be true. I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'm tithing, I'm sharing my faith, I'm praying for other people, I'm giving money to the poor. I'm doing those things. Why? Because I know the scripture tells me that's the way I should behave. Now that I know it and I'm thinking it, it becomes a part of my life. And then when I do those things, guess what? Something called orthopathy happens. I have good feelings. It has nothing to do with my team won or not. It doesn't have anything to do with how much money I have in the bank. It has something to do with the reason God created me to fulfill my destiny in a corporate sense. God wants us to be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. You guys have heard a lot of great preaching sitting under Nelly and the team here. I know you have. You've had great teaching here. I know you have. It does you no good unless you do something about it. Information without application equals frustration. Information plus application equals transformation. God wants to transform you and I. He does it through his word. You won't be happy. It's not about money. It's not about travel. It's not about cars. It's about doing what God called you to do, fulfilling your corporate destiny. I want to encourage you, ladies and gentlemen. You're beautiful people. I'm so delighted that you allowed me this short time to just come and encourage you and hopefully help establish you. But you have to make a decision. God, it's not about me, myself, and I, the unholy Trinity. It's about, God, what you want me to do. And I'm going to do the hard yards, and I'm going to pay the price, and I'm going to link arms with these people, and I'm going to join in this thing called corporate destiny, because that's why you put me here. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for this destiny that we all have. And Lord, I'm praying right now in the name of Jesus that if there's anybody here who would say, Pastor Ken, I've been seeking my own selfish interest. I've been doing what I want to do. I've been going to a church where I want to get all my little needs met. And I see today that that's really not true Christianity, that I need to come in. I need to link arms. There's a corporate destiny waiting for me. And today, the scales came off my eyes, and I realized, God, that you've equipped me to be built up in this body, in this corporate destiny. And I want to acknowledge that and receive that this morning. Amen. Praise God. Can we just give God a great hand clap? God bless you. Pastor Nelly.
Well, wasn't that great? Can we give it up for Pastor Ken as well for such a great word? Such a great word. Usually at this time, we have a time of discussion around a theme, but I really sense the Lord wants us to pray for one another as spiritual family. And if you're here visiting from another church, let this be a revelation as to how God's called you to be a part of spiritual family, wherever God's called you to. We know we're not the only church in town, but there is a revelation of a corporate destiny that God has called you to, whatever specific church that he's called you to. And if it's here, but I wanted to spend some time, maybe about 3 minutes, just in groups of two or three or four at the most. And let's just pray for one another that God would indeed just seal the word and seal what he's doing here in gelling us in what God has called us to in corporate destiny.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.